And welcome into the Monday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik, intern Hanley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody had a great weekend. We'll take your thoughts all show long on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, how are you? What's going on?
I'm fine. Just fine. Had a good weekend. Got away a little bit. Listen to some tunes, and some championships were won.
Some championships were won, indeed.
Michelle got acquainted with my family a bit more.
Michelle made it back in here today.
I had a great
impressive
time.
Weekend.
I had a great time with the Rex Roads. It was nice to get out of the city. Caroline Rex Road is my new best friend.
You guys did some paddle boating?
That was so paddle boarding.
By the
so
way,
fun.
Paddle boarding. Sorry,
I love how out of the city is Nolensville. She's we're gone. Just in Nolensville,
the deep countryside.
Caroline was telling me about she has a lot of friends with animals on big things of land. I was like, ah, this is great. Just out of the city we go.
Yeah.
Weekend
retreat.
It was really fun. Got sunburn and yeah. Now we're back in action.
Yep. Back in action. Let's start the show with just our condolences for intern Hanley, who's Tampa Bay Lightning. Their valiant run came to an end last night. 11 consecutive playoff series victories, 2 Stanley Cups in a row, and it looked like in the third period last night, they just kind of ran out of gas a little bit. I think they had a total of, I think it was four shots on goal in the third period last night, and Colorado was just extremely impressive in the way they shut the door. I will say this, and this, I don't think it had really an impact on the game itself because it was so kind of blatant both ways. You almost had to murder someone last night to get a penalty called on you. Like, Ryan McDonagh totally destroyed Darren Helm, hit him right in the numbers on the boards, and they called that one. But, I mean, some of the stuff they let go in that game last night was borderline unbelievable. And I guess, that, you know, it's game 6 of the Cup Final. It was going to have to be pretty blatant, but, man, they let some things go last night. The old let them play adage last
night.
Yeah,
well, that's sort of like the stereotype almost, right, of the playoffs that, as you've said before, yeah, maybe it's a little bit overblown. Maybe it was a bit more realistic. I mean, I prefer that, you know, as long as it's not just outrageous. And sorry, by the way, my computer just completely shut off on me. I don't know what's going on.
Does that mean that the stream is now just my face?
It probably is. Cool.
Hanley goes, oh, no, we lost Joe.
Joe's gone.
That was weird. Like, it just turned off. The battery's not close to, boy, we got problems here. and then how about Landeskog at the end, you know, just getting dragged to the, you know, to the board so we can get
he goes
off the
to block
ice,
the
man.
Shot, oh. And Kucherov's shot goes off his skate blade. And the skate blade, you could see it on the replay. It just disintegrates. It just falls off. And he's having to get off for a line change, which, by the way, was definitely another too many men penalty they just missed on that play, too.
You just do whatever you want.
Whatever. Anything goes out there in the Stanley Cup Final. But, look, it was pretty obvious. You know, Tampa Bay, they put up a great fight. That was an awesome series. I said it last night. That was hockey at its finest. I would have been really interested to see, you know, if Braden Point was healthy the whole time, what that would have looked like. But Colorado was the best team all year long. They're the best team in the playoffs. They lost 4 games in the playoffs. And, look, I mean, I think between the regular season and the playoffs, they had 72 wins, which ties the record. I mean, that was one of the best teams I've ever seen. And now they've got a cup championship to show for it.
Yeah, really impressive. I mean, you got to tip your cap to them. They did exactly what, as an Avs fan, you would hope from last year's disappointment. I guess they said bleep it, and they just
maybe Dater
decided
right.
to be the – that's right. Maybe Dater had a point. I was so sure he was going to be the guy who had Yossi off the belt.
I was too.
They're an incredible team. Incredible team. All the pressure, all the expectations, and like the third period, you know, you're up 2-1 in a moment like that. To dominate basically a period the way they did in that situation kind of says it all, right?
Yeah.
They were just better. And Tampa Bay, incredible run. Hanley, apologies. She said she's off social media.
It's a tough
today.
Day for her today.
Yeah. Do not follow Adrian Dater anytime soon. I assume he's like drinking something out of the cup or something. I saw all kinds of. All I know is our guy Peter Baugh. Did you see his stuff? We should get him on this week.
Yeah,
he put his funny hat on the cup.
Yeah.
Nice job, Peter. Nice job.
Impressive stuff from the Avalanche. It's like, you know, Tampa had a couple of good looks in the third period. Kucherov had them both, actually. One of them went off the post, and then the other one was a one-timer where Darcy Kuemper, to his credit, made a great save on it. I thought Kucherov in the third period last night, it's hard to, you know, critique him too much because he's a great player. He was trying to do way too much out there, and they had some chances where had he just made the simple play, probably get a couple more looks, but he's trying to be the great player that he is. And a little too much from Kucherov in the third period last night. But again, you know, Colorado was the better team. I thought it was an incredible game on Friday for Tampa to like, you know, everybody's playing in the cup parade in Colorado on Friday. And I thought Tampa played great Friday. Like, I thought they were really good. They were locked in. They started the game off that well last night, too. Makar with a brutal turnover. And then Stamkos scores, and I was thinking to myself, don't let them get to a game seven, because you do not want that if you're the Colorado Avalanche. But impressive response from the Avalanche after that. Cale Makar wins the Conn Smythe, so not a bad year for Cale Makar. Stanley Cup, decent. Norris Trophy, and Conn Smythe to go with it at 23 years old.
Yeah, like he really just had to have the Norris too, huh? Just had to have that. Yeah, he's something else.
Pretty darn good. So congratulations to the Colorado Avalanche. I tallied this up last night, Joe, and I'm 99% sure that I'm correct. The fifth time that the Nashville Predators have lost in the playoffs to the eventual Stanley Cup champion. 2008 against Detroit, 2010, 2015 against Chicago, obviously, and 2017 against Pittsburgh in the Stanley Cup final, and then now with the Avalanche as well. So the fifth time in franchise history they lost to the eventual Cup winner. Which we asked David Poile about last week, if that made him feel any better. And he's, no, it does not.
Good answer by him. Yes. That's the thing. Like, I mean, I think we all knew how good they were. I don't think anybody knew. I mean, I didn't think that they were going to do what they did. But we knew how good they were, right, when they played the Preds. They were that team all year, basically. So it's not like this is, you know, like for example, if you're like the Blackhawks in 17 could say, whoa, that was embarrassing. We got swept, but at least that team got all the way. But that wasn't a team that was necessarily supposed to. Certainly wasn't even supposed to beat you. This was the best team. You didn't have your goalie, but they ripped through everybody. I'd like to quote Chris Vanini, our friend of the show, real quick. Congrats to the Colorado Avalanche, who are still one Stanley Cup behind the Red Wings since they moved to Denver. Thank you. Thank you for throwing that shade in. Chris Vanini?
I did not see episode one yesterday. It's on the viewing list.
I didn't either.
Colorado, Detroit. By the way, Darren McCarty unrivaled. Tomorrow. Look forward to that.
Yes, unrivaled. Yep. Yeah. I know, that's the thing. So explain that to me. It's broken into episodes. It's not
I don't know.
Thing. I don't know that either. I thought it was just like one big thing.
It could be. If so, it's going to be long.
Yeah. Got to make sure to watch that today before McCarty comes on tomorrow.
Yeah.
I know, sure. McCarty was tweeting about it. He seemed to like it. So.
I'm sure that he was. Ole Miss winning the national title in the College World Series. They take down Oklahoma. So it had me thinking back yesterday, Joe, to a series, I think back in March, where Tennessee goes on the road to Ole Miss. Ole Miss is the number one team in the nation at the time, and Tennessee just totally eviscerates them. They sweep Ole Miss. I think the week after was when they played Vanderbilt. So they went on the road to Ole Miss. They sweep Ole Miss, and I was thinking, that was kind of the first time this year we looked at Tennessee and was like, okay. It's a pretty impressive road series win that you have right
no
there.
Doubt.
Ole Miss kind of fell off the table after that. There were some that thought maybe they shouldn't even be in the tournament, and now they go and they run through the regional, super regional, and they win the College World Series. So back-to-back titles in college baseball for the state of Mississippi. Mississippi State last year, Ole Miss this year, but the Rebels get it done in Omaha.
It's an amazing story, and, you know, you're talking about, like I said, last team in. Some people were upset they were in. Well, I mean, there were people who were saying Kentucky should be in instead of Ole Miss, for example. I don't think Kentucky would have gone all the way had they gotten in, so, you know.
Hey, you never know. You also didn't think Tennessee wouldn't make a Doma.
That is true. I did not. So, I'm trying to think of how, like, this would be like the equivalent of – you know, the basically the last at-large bid, you know, like right on the bubble, winning the whole thing, which I guess we kind of got close to that, like when Villanova beat Georgetown in 85, you know, but I mean, you just don't see that. In baseball, you're more likely to see something like that, but still to go all the way like that, pretty amazing. And for the state of Mississippi to have both teams win it all the last years, that's pretty wild too. First time for either.
How do you think Lane Kiffin is celebrating the baseball national title? Like, it's a big deal in the Kiffin household?
Well, I was hoping he was going to do what Michelle's called shot was, which was round the bases,
round
like
the bases.
A little child.
Just running out there.
I did see on Twitter they were on, like, a private jet going to Omaha or something.
Oh, yeah, he was there. Oh,
of course. I saw he tweeted LFG, so he did do that.
The Brady in it.
He braided, yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful stuff. We're off and running here today on Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. How much did Ole Miss winning the national title sting if you're a Tennessee fan? Hit up our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We'll continue the discussion next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, by the way, one thing we did not get to in the Stanley Cup Final, which I think Predators fans will thoroughly enjoy for the most part. That is now 3 years in a row with three different teams that Corey Perry has lost in the Stanley Cup Final. He's the first player in the history of the league to lose the Stanley Cup Final 3 years in a row on three different teams. He lost to Tampa twice and then joined them, and now he's lost again.
That is pretty sweet. all due condolences to Hanley and the Lightning fans. I mean, that is a pretty sweet byproduct of this.
It's pretty awesome.
Corey Perry feeling misery today should make everyone else feel better.
I mean, it would be, I think, a little bit better if he hadn't already won a cup.
Yeah. But still, he's out there cup chasing and just bitterly falling short.
By the way, like last night, he did just like the most Corey Perry thing ever. There's this play by the net. And he took Darcy Kemper's water bottle off
and
just threw it.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, all right.
I mean, that was kind of...
Never changed, dude.
That was kind of good Corey Perry trolling.
It was.
Like, that was at least, like, not something that could injure someone for life like other things he tries in his career. But, yeah.
So, a little bit of solace today from Preds fans. At least Corey Perry has gone the distance 3 years in a row and has nothing to show for
it. I'm glad you brought that up. What's his... By the way, do you know what his deal was with them?
He's got another year. Yeah.
I don't know, Tampa Bay might win. I'm just saying, he seems to be the guy who brings about Stanley Cup final losses. So, might want to think long and hard about keeping that guy around.
If they get back there again next year, they're good.
I know where I'm betting. The betting will be easy.
Betting against Corey Perry. I can see it now. A Chicago Blackhawk resurgence final against Tampa Bay next year, and you're still going with the Blackhawks. I don't know who's gonna play goal for them, but yep, the Blackhawks.
Gosh, that was aggressive, bringing the Blackhawks to the cup final.
I just tried to think of the team that may be the farthest away. I guess it could have gone Arizona.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Darcy Kemper.
Yeah.
How about that?
Former Coyotes goaltender, now a Stanley Cup champion. So, obviously, we talked about this last segment, Ole Miss winning the national title game. How much does that sting if you're a Tennessee fan? Knowing the way that you dominated the SEC all year long, you dominated Ole Miss when you played Ole Miss this year, to watch them go on the run that they did, number one, I think speaks to what you talked about heading into all this. The randomness is probably not the right word, but just the difficulty of this tournament and the unpredictability of the tournament of the College World Series. Ole Miss wins. How much do you think Tony Vitello's kicking a wall today as he wakes up and Ole Miss is the national title?
Yeah, well, it's sort of, it's almost like the other way around of the Preds, right? With the Preds, it's like, well, you felt terrible about getting dominated in the playoffs, but that team was proved to everyone that they are not just the best team, but like that's an all-time team. I mean, really, it is. And now this is like that team. That team won it all. You couldn't get to Omaha, and that team won it all. So I'm sure there's some of that. I don't know that anything. I still feel like the time heals all wounds thing is in place. So like, I guess if you told the Vols that day, also by the way, Ole Miss is going to win this sucker, you'd be like, no, you know. But it was already brutal. It was just already just completely brutal to, you know, lose that game and to not even get there. So I don't know. I guess it does speak to one thing. If you're a Vols fan or a Vol in that program and you're, you know, arguing things, you certainly can sit there and say, see, you guys were trying to talk about how the SEC was down in our dominant year. No. Look at what happened this whole entire tournament. The SEC continues to be the best baseball conference by far, and we dominated that conference. You know, you can say that if you're a Vols or a Vols fan. So you can flip it around, Robbie.
Dylan, that was impressive.
Thank you.
It'll be a positive heading into next year, a source of fuel for the Vols. I'm sure it will be that, in all seriousness. But, you know, what can you really do about that until the postseason comes around next year?
I mean, right. Yeah. Well, you just know that on the way, you know, just expect most years, if not all years from now on, are not going to be the ripping through that league that you just had.
It'd be very difficult to accomplish that.
Yeah. Now, you know, still, I'd say that Tennessee, I could see Tennessee being the favorite next year because of the rotation that returns. I don't know. But, this was a special year, and it always will be. And then it'll also be remembered for the brutal finish in the postseason. But, like, what they did was spectacular.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, the SEC, it's not going to get any worse. I mean, there were people talking about this over the weekend. Yes, it was an SEC Big 12 final, but Oklahoma's going to be in the SEC in a few years. They're just joining that powerhouse baseball conference, Texas and Oklahoma coming over. So, I mean, it's going to continue to be great baseball. You know, if you're Tennessee, the question is, did you just miss your gigantic opportunity with how dominant you were? With, you know, Vanderbilt's going to be Vanderbilt again at some point. They're going to be great. And Tim Corbin, like, if you told me right now Tim Corbin won another national title or two, I'd be, yeah, okay. I could probably see that happening. Obviously, Ole Miss, Mississippi State the last couple of years and what they've been able to do, like, the conference is great. So I think I would expect that Tennessee probably never has a year as dominant as this one was again. Like, that's going to be pretty hard to replicate. Now, as we found out, that doesn't mean that you can't go further and win a national title. So you'll trade that every time.
Yeah, look, Tennessee could win the national title next year.
Sure.
Vanderbilt could too. I mean, I look at both of them. Vanderbilt just got some really good news on one of their pitchers who's going to go to school rather than go in the draft, by the way. I mean, they're going to be loaded. You know, Vanderbilt's lost a bunch of guys in the portal, but for the most part, it's guys who are looking at their playing time, and that's just how it's going to be now. Like, you're not going to have your bottom-of-the-roster depth you used to have. What stinks in that case is that some of those kids, I mean, I think most of them are fine, but, like, there are a lot of people who just stay in the portal, you know?
Yeah.
Or you know, don't get the kind of interest that they want. But both of those teams – again, like last week, I tried to come up with like top 10 list of like who's the most likely teams in this state to win championship, and it was easy that the top two is Tennessee baseball and Vanderbilt baseball, and I don't even remember who third was. I think I had the Grizzlies, and you know, like okay, they could be great next year, but I mean, anything else? Titans, Grizzlies. I think those are third and four for me. You got to go way down. You know, Tennessee, I do think the Lady Vols and Hoops have a chance. We'll see. Like, they could be a Final Four team. But it's easily those two baseball programs that are, like, they are still right there. Because if you're in this league and competitive in this league, you're in the top 15 in the country.
If Joe Milton was the starting quarterback this year over Hendon Hooker, where would the Vols football team be on the list?
I mean, I think that they'd have, like, 1-2 odds to win it all, okay. Right? Yeah.
I mean, I just want to check.
Pretty much be like, that's fine. Make fun of all the Joe Milton stuff you want. That's fine. I'm ready. I cannot wait. This is going to be what, like, my greatest take of all time.
We can ask Ryan Callahan about Joe Milton as well.
I think we will. I think, yeah, good. Let me ask that one.
Ryan, how likely do you think it is that Nico transfers because he sees Joe Milton right in front of him? He's just like, you know what? This guy's going to set a standard I just won't be able to live up to.
Hey, that's fine. I promise you, Nico goes to practice. Well, Nico actually was at something that Joe Milton was throwing at. And I was told that by far the most impressive quarterback in the field that day was Joe Milton. I'm just saying. Got to take it to the you got to go class to grass, you know. Got to take it.
Well,
to
maybe
field.
Vitello, he looks at the rotation. He's like, "You know what? I bet Joe Milton could be a heck of a pitcher." In all seriousness, I bet Joe Milton probably could have been a heck of a pitcher.
127 mile an hour fastball.
Or put him in
center field.
Why
have they not done this already?
Just put him at the wall and throw somebody out from the plate. I don't know how we always. I don't know how we got to the Joe Milton thing. I mean, I do. It was me, but
It's now it's going to be like this never-ending thing with me and Joe Milton. That's fine. I'll take it on.
I can't wait. I'm already looking.
You're
past
already looking
this season for Tennessee football. Like now, just get me to 2023.
I mean, I actually can't wait either because like the absolute. It's going to be a great test case of like. You know, everyone fully expects the freshman to come right in and start, even though, you know, what happened with Bryce Young? It was kind of nice to have that year. C.J. Stroud, he didn't start right away. On and on and on.
Yeah.
But everybody's going to expect that. And then we're going to start hearing about a quarterback competition that is an uphill climb for Nico. We'll see.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Some news on Barry Trotz and his immediate future in the NHL. We'll get to that coming up next. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic, intern Handley here with you on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Joe, some news on the Barry Trotz front over the weekend. Obviously, some coaching jobs still open. The Winnipeg Jets open, the Detroit Red Wings open, and we wondered, would Barry Trotz be in line for one of those two jobs? Does he want to continue coaching? Or maybe could he want to get into a front office role somewhere, maybe with the Nashville Predators? Well, we know that at least one of those things isn't happening. He is not going to be coaching next year. He sat down with NHL.com, a good interview with Tim Campbell from NHL.com, and basically talked about kind of where he's at right now in terms of the coaching part of this. And here was... As you know, there's a lot of quotes in here because Barry Trotz can talk, but I'll just read off one of them. Quote, "I got some things personally I've got to take care of family-wise that I got to take care of. I didn't feel if I said I'd take the job that I think I would have done any team a little bit of a disservice and myself a disservice because to be a coach in the NHL, it's demanding and it requires your all. It just does. Emotionally, it just does. Mentally, it does. So I couldn't go down that path. It doesn't mean I'm not going to coach. I'm just not going to coach right now. I've been doing this for 25 straight years, and I put a lot of stuff on the back burner, and I think it's time. The only thing I do know, and it's a mistake that everybody makes, is you think you have time, and you don't. And so this is my time when I can get to a lot of things I put on the back burner. I have to take care of those for peace of mind, for everything, so I will be 100% if I get back into it, and I'll be a better coach for it," end quote from Barry Trotz there. So Barry Trotz says he will not be coaching this next year in the NHL. Doesn't mean he's not going to coach in the future, but... not going to be a coach right now. What do you think of that and those comments from Barry Trotz?
Well, it sounds like, I guess, on brand for who Barry Trotz is, you know, which I don't personally know, but, you know, it just sounds like someone who's got, perspective on life. It's good to see that. In the coaching profession, sometimes that's easy to lose. I also listen to that, and I do wonder – Does he get into these things in life and then realize, you know what? Yeah, I can't go back to that grind.
Maybe.
You know? Maybe it is just like a year reset and you can do some things. But, you know, he's got kids who are growing up, going to college and things like that, right? So, I don't know. Sometimes you get into that and you're like, yeah, are you really going to sign up to go back to the grind of coaching. So I listen to that, and I wonder if maybe like the front office isn't the way he'll end up going.
May not be. I mean, I kind of – honestly, I read those comments, and my first thought was, so he might just take a year off and not be in front office, not be in anything, and just take a year off and see how it goes. I mean, could there be a scenario where he was like an advisor to the Predators or something for a year? Yeah, maybe. I mean, you could if you really wanted to, if he wanted to do something, like he could stay in the game this year and not have to do a whole lot in terms of time commitment. So that could happen if you're Barry Trotz. So I'm not going to rule that out. But I kind of read those comments of, you know, that he may want to coach next year. And, like, I've always thought this. Like, I can't see Barry Trotz joining, like, the Predators front office in a major role, like assistant GM or whatever the role would be, and doing it for a year and then all of a sudden saying, all right, I'm getting back into coaching. Like, it kind of feels like if he was going to do that.
Like, make a choice.
He would make that choice, and that would be what he does. I don't know that, but that's just kind of the read that I've had on it. So, kind of feels like he might just take the year off.
Yeah. Now, you could do the advisor thing, which you look at as kind of like a learn the ropes a little bit. Here's some of the nitty-gritty of doing this that maybe, you know, there was no reason for you to get into it when you were a coach. And now this prepares you, and then a year from now, if you're going to go fully in to a job, now you have this a little bit, you know, you have a little bit of a taste of that, and then you can obviously go back into coaching. I could see something like that. That would probably make sense.
There is an interesting quote at the end of this piece. It just says, quote, "I always stay current, so trust me, I'll be watching. I'll be talking to people. I'll be doing all those things I've always done as a part of staying current and what the league is all about, because it always changes. It's an opportunity to energize myself and make good with the time I have. I will stay involved. I still have good relationships with Lou and the Islanders, good relationships with teams I've been in with the past, and the players and coaches. I'll stay involved, and when I feel like I'm ready to jump back in, I'll be fully 2 feet in and watch me go. I just need time. I've said it up front to everybody I've talked to. I need time. I just do. I didn't want to sell anybody short on what I'm capable of doing. When you sign on, you have to be all in. That's how you win. You're going to see it on TV night in and night out in the Stanley Cup playoffs. You have to be all in, and I take that personally." It's coming from Barry Trotz. So,
another good quote.
He did mention that he has good relationships with Lou and all the other teams he used to
work
with.
And past teams.
Is that like a veiled maybe revelation there at the Barry Trotz? I have a good relationship with the Predators.
Maybe. So. Or is he talking about the Capitals?
Well, could be.
They still like me more than Peter Laviolette there, for the record.
That's true.
Yeah, well, yeah. Yeah, it's – I mean, he's, you know, he's going to continue to be a pursued coaching commodity. There's no doubt about it. I guess some of the – like, I don't know if, like, Steve Yzerman's been just kind of waiting just to hear the no, but no. Now you got it. Yeah. So how many openings are there still right now on the coaching front then?
I think it's just those two.
Is it just those two?
Yeah.
I guess that's so. Right?
Yeah.
So, chop, chop.
Well, I heard this question get thrown out there over the weekend, too, of, like, if better jobs were open, would Barry Trotz be interested in coaching? Like, if it wasn't Winnipeg and Detroit, would Barry Trotz be interested in coaching?
But the
Florida job was open. The Vegas job was open. I mean, they've had some pretty good jobs open this offseason. Right. Like, you had literally the President's Trophy winner was open this offseason.
Like, you can't expect, like, you know, Colorado and Tampa Bay to be open after this season. You know, that's like the Florida job being open after this season is that's not every year.
Like, I guess there's always a chance that Paul Maurice was just Florida's guy the whole time and they never called Barry Trotz. I would find that pretty
weird.
Difficult to believe. Like, Paul Maurice is a great coach. Don't get me wrong. I love that guy. But you call, if you're Florida, you call Barry Trotz. So I'm going to assume that they did, and he told them no. So if he's not coaching Florida,
or maybe he told them, maybe he put them on pause
until
he told everybody no at once. But yeah, either way, then I guess if you're them, it's like, okay, well, let's not sit here all day and get left at the dance.
Now, if it comes out that they didn't call him, I'd probably look around and be like, what are you guys doing down there?
That wouldn't be wise. They end up with a good coach.
Yeah.
But, that's the thing. I mean, Trotz, a year from now, there's going to be another handful plus of jobs. But how many of them are going to be attractive. I don't see him at this point. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'd be surprised if he just took on a total, you know, reclamation project as a coach.
I'd be surprised. So, well, I mean, at this point, if you're him, you're third in the history of the league in wins. You're second, and you're behind Scotty Bowman in terms of games coached in the league. So you've been doing this for a long time. Like, if you're still coaching, to me, it's because you're trying to win another cup. Like, that's – and are you going to go through a 6-year rebuild process in order to try to do that? I doubt it. So, like, I would assume if he does take a job – that's why the Winnipeg thing never really made sense to me because, like, I get it, he's from there. But you need more than just being from somewhere to take a job. Like, you got to feel like you got a chance to win. And I look at that Winnipeg team right now, and I'm just like, well, they're just kind of stuck in no man's land at the moment, which is not a good place to be.
No. Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Although, it could be worse. You know, it could be worse if you're the Preds.
Yeah.
What situation would you rather have right now?
I don't know. That's a good question. Like, at least the Predators still made the playoffs this year, so there is that. But, like, is Winnipeg, you know, you got Scheifele. You got some pieces that you like. And, by the way, you traded for, like, Pierre-Luc Dubois, who was in Columbus. He's a good player, and he's a free agent in 2024, and he's already told him, yeah, I'm not going to be resigning here. So just keep that in mind.
Way down the road, just so you know.
Just so you know, 2 years.
Yeah.
I'm not coming back.
There's nothing that can happen in the next 2 years that'll make me want to stay.
Yeah, that's like
you guys can send me all the poutine you want. I'm out.
It must be just how bad Winnipeg sucks. Yeah, you're like, you know.
Like, I gotta say this way in advance.
Let me just let you know. So you got 2 years to figure this out. I will be leaving.
Yeah, before the next 2 years that we're together, I want you to know I hate it here. Okay.
I don't know that I've ever seen anybody.
Don't ever ask me how I'm doing. I saw that. Ask me how my day is. I hate it
over the weekend. Like, I don't know that I've ever seen anyone 2 years out be like, "Hey, by the way, we could win the Stanley Cup in 2023. Yeah. I'm not coming back.
Back to back cups, Conn Smythe winner, all that. But no, I'm out, man. Get me out of here.
Hey,
disrespecting the peg.
We need more of that in hockey. Just say what you feel, man.
You're right about that.
We'll continue to take your thoughts. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road here on 1025, 1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Will from Nashville texting in said, where does Trotz live? Well, we talked about that last week.
Ask
buddy,
Joe.
Let me tell you, I've gone through the entire photo gallery.
You know the exact square footage.
Yeah. I like the foyer. I'm just kidding. I don't know if there's a foyer.
Or is it a foyer?
It's a foyer.
I think
right?
It depends on what you say, where you're from.
Yeah. Michelle?
Sometimes I say foyer just to try to sound fancy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there's a bidet to go with the foyer.
I've never heard foyer ever. Foyer.
Really?
Yeah.
Have you heard of a bidet?
I've heard of a bidet.
Okay.
All right. Okay. All right.
I don't think that the house has that, but there is a photo gallery
you
in
can
the
go
address.
Find out if you want.
Yeah. It's all online. Barry Trotz has had a home in Nashville all this time, right?
Which is probably the one that he would be living in if he were here.
Right. But he has multiple residences per the internet. No, but seriously, Michael Gallagher. You got to give credit to Michael Gallagher for the story and also the link so that people can go, I don't know, go say hi to Trotz if they want, I guess.
Get him in the mailbox.
Some member of the family.
Yes. Will from Nashville on the text line says, and Robbie, how did the Jets deteriorate so much? Seems like yesterday we were playing them in barn burners. In the playoffs, it's interesting to think back to the 2018 playoff run from a variety of fronts. Number one, watching what Colorado has turned into since then. Like I knew when I watched them against the Predators that year that they were going to be good. I didn't anticipate they'd be that. Obviously, Cale Makar wasn't around at that time either, so it's a pretty big difference. But by the way, Gabriel Landeskog last night, Emily Kaplan asked him like how teams replicate what Colorado did, and his response was, go find a Cale Makar somewhere.
Yeah.
Simple as that. But it is interesting to think about. You know, 2018, Preds win the President's Trophy. The Jets are second place in the NHL. They play in the playoffs. It's a seven-game series. And I remember thinking to myself, like, this could be a series that we get used to around here of these two teams for the next several years being the two teams in the Central. And that has not happened. They have gone the other way. Neither team has been back to – listen, well, I guess the Jets have been back to the second round since then. But neither team has been beyond that since that point.
And that's the one time between the two of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I always rip on my old Tolvanen columns from the Tennessean. Boy, there were some doozies on that, too. A decade of revelry soon to come. I don't know if I wrote that. But, you know, that's what – I mean, I definitely thought, like, this is going to be – not the last time they have a huge playoff series. Certainly not the last time that both will be considered top contenders. And, yeah, it went the wrong way pretty quickly. You know, I mean, the very next year for the Preds was – I mean, they won the division. But, you know, it was the start
of
the –
it was a tangible difference.
Bad trend. Yeah, so you just don't know. And, yeah, you think back on that Avs team, they had that line. You know, I mean, but McKinnon, you know, those guys have gotten better too. In particular, McKinnon, he was a heck of a player back then. But now, there's a, you know, he's found another level.
Yeah.
And yes, Cale Makar kind of helps, but they're, I mean, Kadri, like they're,
I mean, they're from top to bottom.
They've continued to build on that core, really effectively.
Yeah, JC,
what you got to do?
Yeah, you gotta. Got to keep going.
Got to add players that are good.
Yeah, that always helps.
Yep.
JC on the text line says, is it me or is it still weird Trotz is contemplating a front office role just to return to Nashville after being let go by the same GM? Slow start or a four-game losing streak and the calls for Hines' head by Jared will start. It's coming from JC on the text line.
Well, just by Jared?
It'd be a little bit more than Jared, I think. I don't read much into the
– I don't think,
like,
it's
if
weird.
You're Barry Trotz, it'd be weird coming back while Poyle's still here. Like, I – from everything that I know and have been told, and just knowing both of them, like, their relationship's still pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Did was there some time needed in there? Maybe
I don't
after?
Think so. Like, I went back for some reason last week and watched Barry Trotz's farewell press conference from the Predators, which took place in 2014. And you know, even then, he's like, you know, he spent like 10 minutes talking about how much he loves David Poyle. Like, I don't think there's ever been any bad blood between those two.
Well, that's the thing. Look, in this league, I think coaching changes happen way too fast, way too often. But in that situation, certainly that wasn't the case there. But there are times when it's just like you just need a change. Even if you have someone really good, it's just like it's just time for a different direction, right?
Yeah, and I think Trotz knows that David Poyle, you know, without David Poyle, there's no Barry Trotz. I mean, he was really patient with him. Like, think about today's environment, not only just with how much life in general has changed since 1998, but think about, you know, Vegas coming in, Seattle coming in. The Predators didn't make the playoffs until 2003-04. So you go from, you know, 98-99, you're not in the playoffs until 5 years later. Like, most times nowadays, that coach is not surviving the first 5 years. And Barry Trotz did. And, you know, they were one and done in the playoffs forever. They didn't get out of the first round of the playoffs until 2011. So you're talking about you started in 1998. You didn't get out of the first round of the playoffs until 2011. Now, there were some circumstances around all that. And I understand that, you know, a lot of times they had their hands behind their backs in terms of there was just a certain amount of money that they could spend and the budget was what it was. But I say all that to say, like, Barry Trotz is keenly aware of the opportunity that David Poyle gave him. So I don't think there's any bad blood there at all. I don't think there ever was.
Yeah. I mean, and to the point on the playoffs thing, I mean, like, for example, Terry Crisp, I guess he got Tampa Bay there in the fourth year. So there was some patience there too. And again, different rules. So, like, you had to be patient with expansion teams back in the day. But, you know, and he was fired after they missed it, you know, the next year, basically, early in the season after that. So that's just how it goes. And so I think it would be – it's just the interesting thing to me is not the Poyle-Trotz relationship, which I think is pretty well documented. It's very strong. But just what would the role be, and does it mean this is the way he's going if something happens? I mean, I suppose it would be communicated, right? Like it's
yeah.
advisor, and it's like, you know, it's kind of like the Jim Schwartz thing with the Titans, where it's like, okay, you know, at some point, also time of life a little bit as a factor for him in between jobs, probably going to go all in at some. I mean, I would think that Jim Schwartz probably soon, probably at least takes a coordinator job somewhere or something, right?
Yeah.
So it could be that, but if it's more of a, I guess if it's more communicated, or even like the title is more of a permanent thing, maybe that means the Barry Trotz could be the heir apparent to Poile. Well, is that possible?
The other part of this that I don't think we've talked a ton about is like, how does, if Barry Trotz is coming in, which again, we don't know that he is, but we know that he's apparently not coaching next year.
The chances have gone up.
The chances have gone up
this weekend.
So how would John Hines feel about it? Like, if you're David Poile, what conversations are you having with John Hines? Like, I don't think he would be a huge deal, as long as if you're David Poile, you explain to him, you know, what the role is going to be and why he's coming in. But there is always, if you're John Hines, like in the back of your mind, and I won't speak for him, but if it was me, I'd be like, well, I get it. That's what you're bringing him in to do. But he is the third winningest coach in the history of the National Hockey League. What happens if things go south and, you know, you've got a Hall of Fame coach behind me?
Yeah.
I don't think it's the world's biggest deal. Like, I don't think John Hines is just going to be like absolutely no there or anything like that. But it's something you think about, I think, if you're a coach.
Yeah. But I still think wouldn't it be kind of weird for Trotz to say he's not coaching this year, coming to do a front office job with the idea that, you know, this could be what he does.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, yeah, you know what? Yeah, I'll jump in there. Yeah, put me behind the bench. It's been a month, but throw me in there.
I don't think he would do that.
I don't either. Like, yeah. I think he'd probably be the one of the first to tell Hines, like, I'm not after your job. So
right.
I don't think it would be. I mean, the way it would be a big deal is, again, just on the outside. We didn't see this last year, and I'm drawing this parallel. It's not exact. It's not a perfect parallel, but we didn't see last year all the stuff about Schwartz ignoring, because the defense, after a couple rough games early, you know, was good, and it was clearly improved, right? So it didn't get to the point of, okay, clearly Shane Bowen just isn't cut out for this, you know? And by the end of the year, it was like, wow, what a redemption year for Shane Bowen. But how much did Schwartz do, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's the thing. In this situation, it would not be that, because Trotz, although I'm sure someone would still, like, if the Preds have a good year, like, oh, Trotz has been, he's been doing the lineups,
yeah.
Right? He's supposed to be in the front office. He's out there. He's coaching him in practice.
Trotz is in disguise at practice, yeah.
John, have a seat, buddy.
Just take the day off.
All right.
I'll be over here.
I mean, I got a whistle. We're good. But, you know, I mean, it's, that would be the whole problem with it, is just us.
Yeah.
As in fans, media would make a big deal out of it. But, yeah, if he came in, I don't think Hines would be all freaked out about it.
Well, I go back to, like, if you're Barry Trotz and you truly are still keeping the door open to coaching next year, which, I mean, I take him at his word and believe that he is, like, are you wanting to commit yourself now to a long-term management position with the Predators? Probably not. Like, if you still think that you're going to coach someday, like I said it earlier, like I just can't see Barry Trotz still wanting to coach and then, you know, diving into like an assistant GM role with the Predators or anything. Now, an advisory role or something where you, as you put it, like you learn the ropes, I could see that, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that, and it gives you kind of an easy out if you want to go back to coaching, with the idea that maybe one day you come back and you do have a bigger role with the Predators. But like if he still has his mind on coaching, I guess I don't expect Barry Trotz to take a big role with the Predators, if at all, this year. Like, he could just totally sit out.
Yeah. And probably be an awesome year.
Probably.
You know? I'm sure, you know, you worry about, because he even said in that interview, you know, staying current, the game's constantly changing. Like, I'm sure some people say, yeah, 1 year out of this league, and, you know, there's a lot of players that also, you know, like, you have to stay up on it. So you have that concern, probably, but, gosh, he's made some money. He's just still going to have his pick of jobs in a year from now. Doesn't sound all that bad. The house looks sweet. Looks like fun. You can walk over to, You know, the 12 South Tap Room.
Yeah.
I mean, pretty sweet.
Be a pretty good setup.
Like a block away.
For Old Barry Trust.
Based on the map that I've looked at on the internet, I know exactly where the house is.
That is correct. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Deshaun Watson situation, which looks like the punishment could be pretty darn severe for Deshaun Watson as it relates to his NFL future. We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game.